The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Half by the end of this year with the impending resignation of the man who currently occupies the job.
When John Kelly took the job as chief of staff a year and a half ago, President Trump made this prediction.
General Kelly will go down in terms of the position of chief of staff, one of the great ever.
He had early success, credited with imposing order on a chaotic West Wing after his arrival in June 2017. But Kelly's iron fist alienated some longtime Trump allies, and he grew increasingly isolated. As for the president, however, he still describes Kelly this way.
He's a great guy.
No official word yet on a successor, but Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff, Nick Ayers, is reportedly Trump's top choice to replace Kelly. Ben Thomas, Washington.
An announcement is expected in the next couple of days. This is SRN News.
Dennis Prager has a simple test to check moral clarity.
This is another exam that I would like to give to help determine a person's thinking. Like, do you support all black dormitories on college campuses? Do you think Israel is the villain in the Middle East? There are some very clarifying conscience and moral compass issue.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at 11 on AM 1280, The Patriot, intelligent radio.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Some of your favorite AM 1280, The Patriot shows are available in podcast form. Listen on demand at AM1280ThePatriot.com. Click on the podcast tab. There you'll have access to the deep archives of interviews, conversations on the big happenings of the week, and other hot topics. That's AM1280ThePatriot.com. Click on podcasts. Got a high of 28 with a low of 17. Kind of cloudy, but it's going to be clearing up a little bit more on in the evening. So stay safe and stay warm, guys.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Stand by for the Northern Alliance Radio Network. And go launch sequence. Engineering?
Go flight.
Master control?
Go flight.
Studio engineer?
Go flight.
We are go for launch in T-minus 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
The Northern Alliance Radio Network is on the air. Live and local from the AM 1280 The Patriot Studios in Eagan. Here is the closer, Brad Carlson.
I used to be a renegade.
AM 1280 The Patriot. It is the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back with another edition of the broadcast. We'd like to call it closer. That's me, Brad Carlson. Thanks, as always, for tuning into the show. You can check out my blog at bradcarlson.org. And we are here taking phone calls at 651-289-4488. You can also weigh in via Twitter. Just use hashtag NARN Show. That's hashtag N-A-R-N Show. For any comments or questions regarding today's show content, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. I just checked my phone, Adam. It says it's 37 degrees outside. I just heard the weather forecast. You said it only a high of 28. What's going on with that, man? not to question your
Maybe
mad
the
weather
times
skills.
Have changed.
Apparently, yeah. Not to question your mad weather forecasting skills, of
I
course.
I need to update my app.
But I saw it was 37. I'm like, wow. Wait, I almost feel like we should be doing the show outside. Well, no, that's kind of a stretch. I'm a hearty Minnesotan, but I have my limits. That's for certain. But hope you're enjoying this beautiful Sunday. Nevertheless, the Vikings don't play till tomorrow evening, so we have to wait another 24-plus hours to get kicked in the teeth as Vikings fans. I'm kind of down about the team this year, of course, with some higher expectations. Certainly not fulfilling them, but that's another story for another day. Obviously, we're here to talk a lot about the political news of this past week, and what dominated the news for most of the first part of the week, anyhow, was the memorial of our 41st President of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush. Of course, he died 9 days ago on Friday, November 30th, and there were multiple memorial services. He was laid in state on Monday, and then the memorial service that took place, I believe it was on Wednesday. One of the, of course, perhaps the most memorable eulogy for me was George W. Bush, of course, the 43rd president of the United States and the eldest son of George Herbert Walker Bush, gave just a very heartwarming and heart-wrenching eulogy, one that I'll never forget. I've watched it multiple times, and I have yet to hold back the tears when we come up to the final part where he starts to say, "You were a wonderful father." And as he said, "You're a wonderful father," it was very clear he was starting to sob a little bit. He kind of gathered himself and wound up his speech by saying, "You know, in our grief, we can take joy that Dad is once again hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again." I mean, I'm paraphrasing what he basically said. And of course, they're alluding to Robin, the Bush's second oldest child, who died at 3 years old back in 1953 of leukemia. And of course, not a lot was known about that ailment back in the 50s. And I believe one medical professional even told the Bush family, "Look, she's got not a lot of time left. I say you just go home and enjoy every moment you can with her because she doesn't have a lot of time left." Imagine a medical professional saying that to parents of a 3.5-year-old little girl. I can't imagine what George and Barbara Bush endured when hearing that. But they pushed back and they sought a different medical professional, and they were able to administer some medication that extended her life for a little while longer, but ultimately she perished just, I believe, a month or two before she turned 4. And just hearing some of the wonderful stories of this incredible family, and it made me, I was heartened to hear it because you knew this was a family that was a close-knit family. They were a loving family. They were gracious and kind, despite the fact they got into a very, shall we say, hard-nosed world of politics. Because you decide to go into politics, it is a proverbial bare-knuckle brawl. And sometimes it can turn literal, I guess. But there are a lot of very, shall we say, heavy barbs, verbal barbs being thrown at each other in the world of politics. It's not for the faint of heart. That's for certain. And I just remember at times being just heartened by the fact that I was able to scroll through Twitter for the most part and just enjoy some of the commentary, because in this day and age of politics, of political discourse, it is so hard-nosed and coarse and just at sometimes obscene, the things that are said in politics today. And the fact that for the most part, a lot of that was set aside and we were able to commemorate the Bush family. And admittedly, there were some journalists out there, and I could call them by name, that I remember specifically what they said about both presidents, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, while they were in the Oval Office. And it wasn't very complimentary. And yet we're supposed to believe that they always felt, well, this, you know, these were men we maybe disagreed, but we at least kept it civil. Well, no, the civility was one side. It was on the Bush's side. However, a lot of left-wing journalists, pardon the redundancy, not so much. And, of course, a lot of the leftist activists, that's where, you know, when I hear the things that are said about President Trump today, a lot of people are just shocked at some of how just blatantly nasty people are towards Trump. And, you know, I'm not going to defend some of the things Trump says. You know, he brings a lot on to himself. Personally, it's not the reaction I would have to somebody like Trump that says the things he says. But nevertheless, he has certainly angered a lot of people. But a lot of similar things were said, similar nastiness was said about George W. Bush. You just didn't realize it as much because Twitter and Facebook and social media only really started to come into play near the end of George W. Bush's second term. But if you were a regular reader of blogs and opinion sites, it was nasty. And if you ever went to anti-war protests, now I was a member of the organization Protest Warrior, where we kind of mocked, you know, anti-war protesters. And some of the protest signs they had just said some of the most vile things about George W. Bush. They, you know, placed a Hitler mustache on him. You know, they weren't above doing that, or the nickname for him was Smirking Chimp. In fact, someone put a website up called smirkingchimp.com. You know, just awful things. And yet now we're supposed to say, why can't Trump show the dignity and grace of George W. Bush or George Herbert Walker Bush? Really? Because, again, you're relying on the fact that you think people have short memories or that people don't have access to old opinion pieces that show the things that you said about the Bushes. And you know what? I'll give credit where credit is due. Bill Maher, who's obviously far left commentator, host of Real Time, and initially hosted a show called Politically Incorrect. There's not a lot politically with which I agree with Bill Maher, but I'll tell you what. He 3 days before the 2016 election day, before Trump was elected, it wasn't a for sure thing that Trump was going to be elected president, but the fact that he had a chance, that there was a path to victory for Trump 3 days before election, had a lot of people shocked, because obviously Trump was Trump, and then what people thought was the coup de grace was the TMZ tape that came out in October, kind of the October surprise, where he talked openly about grabbing women by, you know. And the fact he was even that close had people shocked. And Bill Maher, and I remember this, it was on his show Real Time. And I forget who was on the panel, but there was obviously a Bush supporter on the panel. And he said to the guy, he says, you know what? We said awful things about your guy Bush and what a terrible human being he was. And he wasn't. He said, I gave $1 million to Barack Obama to defeat Mitt Romney in 2012, because Mitt Romney was evil incarnate. But you know what? Mitt Romney wouldn't have changed my life dramatically, and neither would George W. Bush, or neither did John McCain. Would have John McCain had he been elected in 2008? These were honorable men with whom we disagreed, and we should have kept it that way. So we were wrong. That's a true mea culpa right there. It's one thing if these journalists want to come out and say, you know what? I'm taking a second look at the things we said about George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush. Yeah, you know what? We probably should have kind of not got so personal and just kept it to reporting the news. What a concept, right? But they don't do that. They just gloss right over it. And Ryan, I've got a sound clip ready. There was a particular clip talking about Trump's behavior at the various memorial services. And the thing that had these people in a twist is that Trump basically was a church mouse. Didn't say a whole lot. He has been openly critical of George H.W. Bush's 1,000 points of light. He said during one of the presidential debates in 2016 that George W. Bush lied us into war into Iraq. Okay? But yet Trump went to the memorial service, didn't say a thing. You know, he had differences with these people, and he didn't say anything. And you know, there's someone who makes a comment in the sound clip that said we shouldn't be applauding someone for being on their best behavior during a funeral. And yeah, I agree. But at the same time, it's almost like they're disappointed because they can't use it. They can't use Trump's behavior against him to bash him. So they use the graciousness of the Bush family to bash him. Adam, did I call you Ryan? Adam, I'm sorry, Adam. Ryan was a previous board op. Adam, I'll get that right. I'll write it in big letters right now. Adam, if we have that sound clip ready, go ahead. Sorry about that.
You know, he's not one to mend fences too readily. I think he's doing this because he feels he has to do it. And I'm also assuming that General Kelly has had a big hand in it. I do know from the Bush family that they are very appreciative and think the White House has just bent over backwards, gone to great lengths, been extraordinarily helpful. That said, just I can't help but wonder if there was a thought bubble over Donald Trump's head just now, what he was thinking as he stood there.
I have to imagine he was thinking, how much longer do I have to stand here?
It's you know, he had to be there. He did it. I think it's interesting he did it because maybe he could have waited to the National Cathedral. And then he saluted. It was
all told about a minute and 15 seconds.
It was somewhat theatrical in nature, but it's I can't imagine that this is very comfortable for him, these moments. And I think it is going to be fascinating to watch the cathedral on Wednesday and how he interacts with these other presidents. And
OK, well, I just want to stop it right there. So the National Cathedral was the following Wednesday. Yeah, that's all I want with it, Adam. Thanks. So the National Cathedral, obviously the president attended it that Wednesday. And, you know, he sat next to Barack and Michelle Obama and Bill and Hillary Clinton and President Carter and his wife. And it was, he sat there and took in the memorial service. Now, there was one part where they were all standing up and singing, and Trump just held his hymnal, you know, by his side and didn't participate. And they had to bash him on that. You know, and again, I'm not going to defend the things Trump has said and done. But for goodness sakes, he is a sitting president of the United States, and he was willing to put this stuff aside and let the Bush family mourn their loss, their loved one, their grandfather, their father, their uncle, their great, whomever was there from the Bush family. And yet, it was almost like they were disappointed that they couldn't use Trump's own words against him. And Michelle Malkin wrote a great piece, basically, you know, and she started by saying, let's see here. Here's an impolite question, but it needs to be asked. Is there a Republican dead body that left-wing partisans won't use to bash Donald Trump? And I'll just read the last couple of passages of this because it kind of just really hits the point home. Let's stop pretending and give the historical whitewash a rest. This isn't about celebrating civility. It's about weaponizing civility. The newfound fans of the Bush clan spent years demonizing them as bloodthirsty warmongers and dynastic oppressors. Bush the Younger was lambasted as a chimp, beheaded in protest posters, and assassinated in off-Broadway plays. When liberals now praise the Bush's civility, what they are actually rewarding is the GOP establishment's capitulation to liberal principles of big government and elitist comity. Because the Bush family refused to fight back vigorously against media spears, daily Hollywood abuse, and partisan slime, they're considered paragons of virtue from whom Trump is lectured to learn. According to swamp etiquette, it's uncouth to call out profane, deranged haters who have no qualms about letting their anti-Trump freak flags fly as decent Americans mourn. Civility is in the eyes of the bemoaner. Quintessential Michelle Malkin right there. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also reach out via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show, hashtag N-A-R-N Show. Brad Carlson, the closer, coming back with another segment right here on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere. When you're on
a holiday. Imagine learning a skill that helps you protect your retirement accounts. One that can make your dreams of having extra income possible so you can spend more time with your family or take that trip you've always wanted. That's what we do here at Online Trading Academy. Teach our students the skills so they can focus on what's really important. It's the perfect time of the year to join us for a free investing class. Dial #250 on your cell phone, use keyword OTA, or go to learnwithota.com.
AM 1280 The Patriot wants to pay your rent or mortgage for 2019. It's the Christmas Mortgage Miracle. Go to AM1280ThePatriot.com and click on the Christmas Mortgage Miracle banner to sign up. It only takes a moment. You could have a ton of extra cash to book a family vacation or remove the burden of other bills and loans. What will you do with the money? Register today at AM1280ThePatriot.com. Just click Christmas Mortgage Miracle.
Pat Boone here again, and I assure you, I have never before endorsed a pain relief product. Not until now. Not until Relief Factor came along as a 100% drug-free solution for people struggling with ordinary pain. Quite simply, Relief Factor was designed by doctors to help relieve those occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, and everyday living. Let me ask you, are aches and pains keeping you from sleeping through the night? Or keeping you from taking those nice long walks or playing golf or tennis? You can't really call it living if you can't get around comfortably. The 3-week quick start from Relief Factor may be all you need to lower or even eliminate these pains. A whole lot of people have already gone to ReliefFactor.com, and here's something you need to know. The majority of people who order the 3-week quick start, now only $19.95, go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to ReliefFactor.com.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards,
demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Do you long for something better? Family Innovations wants you to know that you can have a better marriage, better relationships, a better view of yourself and the world around you. Family Innovations was created to provide counseling with healing and freedom for everyone who comes to them. Whether you are seeking guidance through a difficult season or freedom from a past trauma, they are the beginning of something better. There is a location near you, so contact FamilyInnovations.com. FamilyInnovations.com.
Welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. Love can make you weak. It is me, Brad Carlson. Thank you so much for tuning in. 651-289-4488. That is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in on any of the topics we discuss. Use hashtag NARN Show, hashtag NARN Show, hashtag NARN Show for any comments or questions regarding today's show content. Continuing our discussion of the legacy of George Herbert Walker Bush, the 41st president of the United States, passed away a little over a week ago at age 94. This past week was spent memorializing him, looking back on his legacy, his political career. Some may not remember this, but he actually first ran for president in 1980. The primary process was in 1979 into 1980 when Ronald Reagan, of course, eventually was the Republican nominee. And George H.W. Bush ended up being on Reagan's ticket as the vice president. And of course, he served as vice president under Reagan for two terms. And there was a situation where George W. Bush was kind of deemed too nice to run for president, that he wasn't ruthless enough. They looked at the presidency as something as where you had to be ruthless, that you had to be cold-blooded, and that you couldn't handle stressful situations or make tough decisions because you were too afraid of maybe stepping on toes. This was something that apparently George H.W. Bush had to deal with. Now, of course, when he was running for president in 1979 and ultimately lost the nomination to Reagan, I was in fifth. I think it was in fifth grade. Yeah, fifth and sixth grade is around that time frame. So I certainly don't recall the specifics of this particular chanting point. But someone dug up an audio clip from 1979. So obviously this was still in the midst of the primary process, and George H.W. Bush was still a contender to be the nominee, the Republican nominee, in 1980 before eventually Ronald Reagan was a nominee. So this is a clip, and Adam, if we have this one ready, this is a question that he received on Face the Nation regarding, hey, George H.W. Bush, are you too nice to run for president? Let's listen to this fascinating discussion.
Among even your friends of the minority who know who you are and who admire you in the party, one of the things that always comes up is that maybe George Bush is too nice a guy to be president. Maybe he's not tough enough.
Yeah, I've heard that.
If you can't take out after, what about the tough enough question?
I don't equate toughness with just attacking some individual. I equate toughness with moral fiber, with character, with principle, with demonstrated leadership in tough jobs where you emerge, not bullying somebody, but with the respect of the people you led. That's toughness. That's fiber. That's character. I've got it. And if I happen to be decent in the process, that should not be a liability. What was the second
Amen.
Part?
Mr. Bush, it's...
I'll take the second part. Is Ronald Reagan too old?
No. Let the voters determine it. Let the press determine it. Just like on the Democrat side, there's all these extraneous issues. Let the people decide it.
Is John Connolly too slippery?
No.
Is Bob Dole too mean?
No.
Okay. And what's the difference?
The difference is the breadth of record, and that my overall performance and conviction about this country, about our ability to solve problems, our ability to restore the credibility in the United States has been diminished under President Carter. I believe I can do that better than anybody else. That's the difference.
Okay. Terrific answer, by the way. And I didn't realize this, is that I didn't know he battled this. David French talked about this in a National Review piece from this past week. It's stunning to consider this when you consider the basic facts of Bush's biography, but he battled the quote-unquote wimp factor and claims that he was too nice for much of his political career. It's a sign of our fallen world that all too many people misinterpret the presence of manners as a lack of manliness. It's destructive to our culture and body politic that all too many people interpret kindness as a lack of a conviction. And it's interesting how timely that particular comment was in that audio clip by George H.W. Bush, where he says, you know, I don't consider toughness as just verbally attacking somebody. Yeah, he says, I equate toughness with moral fiber, with character, with principle, with demonstrated leadership and tough jobs where you emerge not bullying somebody, but with the respect of the people you led. That's toughness. And how timely is that? Because President Trump, particularly on Twitter, uses it as a cudgel to go after his opponents, particularly his opponents that he doesn't feel show him loyalty or respect. And a lot of people would say that President Trump, even before he was president, didn't demonstrate a lot of moral fiber or character or principle with his business dealings or whatever other type of venues in which he dealt. So that comment, I thought, was pretty timely. I'll finish up this piece by David French. As we raise our sons, who is the better model? Is it the quote-unquote wimp who enlisted in the Navy at age 18, became one of the service's youngest aviators, was shot down over the Pacific and rescued, went on to a lifetime of public service, including the presidency, led the nation in war, and managed the fall of the Soviet Union with calmness, ending a great power conflict without triggering a cataclysm? Is it the beloved husband of one wife for more than 70 years and father, a man of real faith? Or is it the quote-unquote tough guy who ducked his war, paid off porn stars, gloried in his adultery, married three women, built a business empire in part through nepotism and suspect tax schemes, bankrupted casinos, and now adopts his aggressive posture mainly through public insults and angry tweets? This isn't masculinity that we should respect, and it's hardly manly to defend behavior that is barely removed from the posturing and strutting of the schoolyard bully. Wow. David French pulled no punches in that piece, particularly talking about Trump. And yeah, this is the thing that always bothered me, particularly during the 2016 presidential primary, is that Trump would say things that would normally end anybody's run for political office, and yet his poll numbers continued to increase. And it was just stupefying to me because, for purposes of full disclosure, I supported Marco Rubio in the Republican primary back in 2016. And Trump was never on my radar. Of all the Republican candidates, he was always the very last one I would ever support and didn't commit to supporting him once he became the candidate. Because I don't subscribe to the theory that in order to push back against the rhetoric that's thrown at you, particularly George W. Bush, people's biggest complaint with George W. Bush is he didn't fight back. And people say, well, he justified the media saying the things that they did. And George W. Bush said, look, I was disciplined enough to not listen to the news, to tune out the noise, because I had a very important job to focus upon. I mean, George W. Bush was asked this. In fact, it was shortly after his mother died. George W. Bush's daughter, Jenna, who works for the Today Show, was interviewing her grandfather and her father at their Kennebunkport, Maine estate. And, you know, that's one of the things George W. Bush talked about. He says, you know what? When my dad was president, I got angry because I heard some of the things that were said about him in the news, and it angered me. He says, but when I became president, I had the discipline to not pay attention to the news and focus on this very important job I had, and to basically tune out the noise. And people construed that as letting others just beat up upon him and get beat to a pulp and beaten into submission, into surrender, into capitulation, into capitulating the liberal policies, as Michelle Malkin alluded to in her piece. And that's not what he was doing. George Bush was not a fiscal conservative, never was. So when he came to Washington with his idea of compassionate conservatism, well, that was a euphemism for expanding government. As a conservative, I disagreed with it, but you know what? I didn't think he did that because he was capitulating to leftists impugning his character. He was a convicted politician. I just felt he was wrong in that issue. But here's the thing. I definitely felt he was a better candidate than Al Gore in 2000 and John Kerry in 2004. So my point in bringing all this up is that Trump gained the traction he did because he was willing to fight back and hit back at the media. And it's like, well, he takes it way too far. It's like, we can't have some sort of middle ground where you can substantively dismiss criticism. So anyways, the battle over conservative masculinity is the David French piece in Astro Review. Definitely read the whole thing. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. It's me, Brad Carlson, the closer, right here on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere.
You stopped solving your own problems years ago. Now you have a staff to do that for you. But it won't help you with your biggest dilemma, her Christmas gift. Well, do what you do best. Surround yourself with good people, the professionals at Wixen Jewelers. Wixen's already knows what she wants. It's diamonds or a fine watch. Wixen's will make it so easy for you. No mall crowds, easy in, easy out, problem solved. Why would you go anywhere else? Wixen Jewelers Bloomington, celebrating 30 years of making Christmas bright. WixenJewelers.com.
Well, this is your chance to become a business benefactor, and, you know, the clock is ticking on this, Nick.
It is. We're down to the last few days, and we've had numerous phone calls. We've got a couple of clients that have committed, and we're excited to support CADE here locally in the Twin Cities.
Yes, CADE is Children with Autism Deserve Education, a great local organization, and now your gift of $1,500 goes directly to CADE to help them, and as a thank you, we're going to provide you with 40 commercials to air here on the station.
Yeah, so let's talk about that for a minute, Lee. So it's a $1,500 donation. Now, you make that donation through us on a secure website, but we don't get the money. We actually give it to CADE. But as a gift, 'tis the season,
yes.
As a gift, we're giving you 40 commercials, 40 commercials to do however you want with them, to promote your business, to promote a sale, or our favorite, the double blessing, give it to an organization that you provide and support for.
Yeah, so if you're not a business owner, you can still participate in the Business Benefactor Program because you can make that $1,500 gift that goes directly to CADE through us, and as a thank you, we'll give you those 40 commercials that you could give to a nonprofit, a ministry, an organization, a church, a synagogue, whatever it is that you want to help support.
Yeah, it is a win-win. And these commercials are professionally written and produced by our team here, so it's not like you have to kind of have a radio background. You don't. You just have to provide us some basic information, and then we'll get it on the air for you.
And here's the basic information you need to participate. You need to call the Business Benefactor Hotline.
That's
a professional, huh?
Yeah.
The Business Benefactor Hotline is
651-289-4444. 651-289-4444. You need to call that number to get into the queue so we can be with you through the process to make sure the donation is given.
It's an easy number, 651-289-4444. Become a business benefactor today to help CADE.
If you could cook up the world's greatest radio station, what ingredients would you need? We'd start by mixing in high-quality, free-range wellness experts. Then we'd add in a generous scoop of the topics that matter most to you. Finally, we'd stir in a certified organic website full of helpful resources and garnish with a specialized mobile app. No, it's not some half-baked idea. It's on the air right now. Wellness Radio 1570, online at TwinCitiesWellnessRadio.com.
Welcome back in, 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. This is me, Brad Carlson, the closer. Thanks as always for tuning in. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. And I'm closing out the weekend's edition of Northern Alliance Radio Network programming. You can catch my friend and colleague, King Banyan, on our sister station, AM 1440, The Businessman. It is the King Banyan Show, heard Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. And my friend and colleague Mitch Berg in these very airwaves, AM 1280, The Patriot. He is the headliner edition of the Northern Alliance Radio Network, heard again Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. here in The Patriot. I'm the closer, closing out weekend Sunday, 1 to 3 p.m. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in. And I did hear Mitch yesterday tease the 10th anniversary party. Yes, the Northern Alliance Radio Network celebrated 10 years on the air almost 5 years ago. But hey, better late than never, right? We're going to be celebrating 15 years on the air come March. And Mitch says, I think that's a great time to have a 10-year anniversary party. But you know what? It's all good. We just like getting together with the listeners. Regardless of the circumstances, we just happen to say, look, it'll be the 5-year anniversary of our 10-year anniversary. How about that? So definitely stay tuned to the Northern Alliance Radio Network and the various social media platforms in order to stay up on the details. Switching gears a little bit, the Thought Police has been out in spades this past week, and I just was scrolling through Twitter this morning, as a matter of fact, just trying to see some things that have come up that are might be newsworthy, because you never know. Whenever there's breaking news, I definitely want to stay up on it and opine if I have anything to weigh in on. And Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy last night, was named the Heisman Trophy winner. So naturally, when someone has incredible success in their lives, what is it that social justice warriors do? They plow through their social media activity of the past to see if there's anything on which they can impugn their character. And, of course, Kyler Murray, when he was 15 years old, apparently drafted some tweets that were, I guess described as homophobic, and the tweets are still there, still active. And it's like, is this where we are right now? Anybody who has any modicum of success in this society, we have to go back and try to find if there are any skeletons in their closet. And what's the easiest way to do that? Social media activity, because it basically has hit critical mass within the past, 5 years or so, where pretty much everybody has some sort of social media account, except for the John Berg, the consigliere here at the Patriot. He's pretty much off the grid. I got to rib John a little bit. I love John. So just got to rib him a little bit, because you wouldn't know he existed because he doesn't show up on any social media. But my point is that this just seems to kind of be the thing now. It's like, so what the stupid, dumb things we say as teenagers, as high schoolers, is that supposed to be what defines us for the rest of our lives? I'm asking a serious question. Is it? Because this seems to be the implication. Otherwise, why bring it up? It's just stupefying, and it fits in with my next story. Kevin Hart, who is a comedian and was recently under fire for some old tweets and old comic bits where he said some insensitive things about not gay people in general, but the gay lifestyle. And he was asked to apologize, and he basically said, look, this is within the context of comedy, my comedy act, I'm not apologizing. And you know, every time and Dave Chappelle, another comedian, last year was under fire for, I guess he did some bits about the transgender community that's come under fire. And it's like, this is comedy, it's entertainment, okay? The things that comedians say, they go to some pretty deep, dark places in their comedy. It's not necessarily reflective of their real life. But yet, this is where we've come in the entertainment business. And it's got to the point where somebody suggested maybe have Alexa or Siri host the Oscars. You know, just some robotic, inanimate object. Because you can control that. And so I'll read the story. This is from the Daily Beast. Comedian Kevin Hart backed out of being the host of the Oscars amid an uproar over his history of making homophobic jokes on Twitter. In a late night tweet, Hart wrote, I have made the choice to step down from hosting this year's Oscars. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazing, talented artists. His decision to give up the coveted hosting gig and apologize came after the Academy of Motion Pictures, Art, and Sciences apparently gave Hart an ultimatum. In an Instagram video he posted late Thursday, Hart said he got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. I chose to pass on the apology, Hart said. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I've moved on and I'm in a completely different place in my life. But, you know, apparently he just decided on his own to move on. And then ultimately, he did issue a statement saying, I sincerely apologize to the LGBTQ community for my insensitive words from my past. So is Kevin Hart going to be allowed to work again? I mean, is the mea culpa good enough? And we're going to let bygones be bygones, or is he like in Twitter jail or movie jail or performance jail until he served his sentence? I don't know. Is there any situation where people can atone for what they've done? You know, Louis C.K. of course was part of the. Well, he was called out during the big Me Too movement for, I'm not going to describe what he was doing in the presence of some aspiring female comedians in a hotel room. Let's just say he was pleasuring himself in front of them. And these ladies felt so intimidated because they were in the presence of this high-profile comedian. They didn't feel right coming forward. Eventually, they did. And Louis C.K. is basically, was made to apologize, and his, I guess he had some sort of cable special that ended up being canceled and all that other thing. And, that's fine. The entertainment industry can police this how they want. But my sincere question is there any atonement for this? Can they come back from this? Are they going to be allowed to come back? If Louis C.K.'s fans are okay with him coming back and performing comedy, is that going to be seen as he atoned for what he had done? Has enough time passed? Is there ever any atoning for what's been done? I'm asking a serious question because I don't know. And I don't think these people know, too. It's just they want to be so quick to rid the entertainment community of this behavior. And to a certain extent, and to a large extent, I get it. And I agree with it. Particularly Harvey Weinstein. So the things that he did, inexcusable. You can't have someone like that who is committing literal sexual crimes running amok. But if the great offense is performing comedy that offends people, is that to be held on the same level as the sins of Harvey Weinstein? I'm asking a serious question here. Whomever's in charge of this stuff. And Keira Davis, who is a conservative commentator and a black woman herself, wrote a pretty powerful piece at Town Hall recently, and it was entitled Kevin Hart Illustrates Hollywood's Noble Savage Racism. So what is noble savage racism, you ask? Well, I'll read an excerpt. Again, this is from Keira Davis's Town Hall column. In Hollywood, black people often serve as proof of a progressive mindset. Hollywood regularly mocks Christians, but you'll be hard-pressed to find any mainstream offering that insults the faith of black Christians the way they do white Christians, even though the vast majority of black Americans identify as Christians. The religiosity of the black community is a problem for white Hollywood, and so the answer is to just ignore it. Don't tell anyone, but you can go into nearly any public school anywhere in the majority black community, and you'll find people praying there. Few people even think about it. The prevailing wisdom is that it's just those pesky white evangelicals that prefer prayer in schools. So what do? We ignore it. It doesn't exist to angry white leftists who only want to defend black people for what it adds to their own social standing. Another problem Hollywood is forced to largely ignore? Homophobia in the black community. No black person is surprised to hear about Kevin Hart's supposed homophobic tweeting. Black America still hasn't jumped aboard the PC train some 20 to 30 years after the idea of PC was forced to the forefront of our culture. Go to a party in a black home, watch black movies, listen to your favorite black comedian, and you'll hear all kinds of inappropriate, quote-unquote inappropriate things flying around. Gay slurs abound. Tasteless jokes about effeminate men, trans folks, and gay people are the norm. The black community is a church-going community, and while everyone knows someone who is gay, they don't necessarily believe it's a cause for celebration. There's no one at the dinner table telling the Kevin Harts of their family to curb their homophobic language. It isn't shocking. It's normal. Many black gay people stay closeted to their families because of this. Homophobia, or at least a version of it, is rampant in black America. Most black people will confirm this. And again, this is Keira Davis, black woman at townhall.com, writing this. And so this is her perspective. And she refers to Hollywood standing up and showing, putting black people in prominent roles that were typically reserved for white folks as showing their progressive chops. And pretty much any movie remake that they want to put forth, they want to cast in a female lead where it was normally reserved for a male role back in the day, or you know, a black person. And again, that's Hollywood's choice. And if it sells at the box office, all good. And if it doesn't, you know, then it's the ultimate virtue signal. They could say, "Well, we're willing to give up a profit in order to do the right thing." And Kira Davis, and I'll finish up this piece. Kira Davis describes this as transactional. So, what to do? The Noble Savage narrative isn't just politically convenient; it's profitable. The only solution is to ignore the homophobia issue. And when the Kevin Harts of the world pop up to inconveniently interrupt the whitewashed version of Hollywood's acceptable people of color, he must be savagely squashed and dismissed as a one-off. The culture of identity politics has made us strangers to each other instead of its supposed intended goal of helping us see one another. It's turned us into memes instead of people. It's given people an excuse to only look at the surface of a given culture but delve no further. As long as we use the acceptable descriptors of each other, we are under no further obligation to scratch below the surface and have meaningful, illuminating reactions. Kevin Hart isn't Hollywood's problem. Hollywood's problem is the same problem Washington has: their refusal to see minority communities as anything other than what they want to see. 651-289-4488 is the number to call. You can also reach out via Twitter, hashtag Narn Show, hashtag NARN Show. Brad Carlson, the closer. One final segment this hour on the Northern Alliance Radio Network. Go nowhere.
No more timing. Each tear that falls
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Dennis Prager here asking, what's your investment guy saying about the stock market these days? What? You mean you don't have a guy? Everyone has a guy. You know, when you have a guy, you can say things like, well, my guy says blubbity blah, blah, blah. And people listen. On the other hand, if you've had a guy who goes silent when the market fluctuates, my friend, it may be time to get yourself a new guy. Smart investors know that regardless of how the market performs, they need regular contact with their advisor. In the Twin Cities, the investment guy I recommend is Josh Arnold Investment Consultant. When you schedule your 48-minute review with Josh Arnold, you'll get straight talk, not sugar-coated advice.
Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608 for a 48-minute complimentary investments and retirement plan review.
A registered investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Markets fluctuate.
So you've been exploring solutions for your hair loss. You've seen ads from the national chains. You've researched the alternative products that cost a fortune. But there seem to be no guarantees. So here's good news for you. This is Dennis Prager. Go to IneedMoreHair.com and see what their hair transplant specialists are doing for men and women like you. The consultations are free. Their doctors have given patients in Hollywood and worldwide a full head of hair. They can do the same for you. You'll see a more confident reflection of yourself. In fact, they guarantee your results in writing, and their prices are some of the best in the business, as low as $3 per graft. So stop searching and go to IneedMoreHair.com. You have nothing to lose. Call their office in Eagan for your free consultation. IneedMoreHair.com. Experience you can trust, prices you can afford. Get the permanent solution to your hair loss at IneedMoreHair.com.
When I found out I was pregnant, I panicked. I was afraid, feeling pressured. I didn't know what else to do.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know there were other options.
I didn't know the baby already had a beating heart.
I didn't know there were couples waiting to adopt. I called a confidential hotline and learned the facts. I found an option that both my baby and I can live with.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
Pro-Life Across America.
Wow. Welcome back, AM 1280 The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network with me, Brad Carlson. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to the broadcast.
Don't you love her badly?
651-289-4488.
Don't you need her badly?
That is the number to call.
Don't you love her way?
You can also use hashtag NARN Show, hashtag N-A-R-N Show for any comments or questions regarding today's show content. Now, as we appreciate you tuning in, just checking some sports news from this past week. I always am fascinated where sports and the culture intersect and when it delves into politics. And we've talked a lot about, obviously, football, because that's kind of been pervasive in the political and social and cultural spectrum with the NFL players taking up more social activism within their community, which I think is a great thing. And I know we've been debating whether they should kneel during the national anthem in order to bring more attention to their cause. And, you know, that's a debate that continues to rage on. But obviously, still the face of that debate is Colin Kaepernick. And whenever a quarterback has been injured since the beginning of the 2017 season, you know, seriously injured where he's going to miss extensive time, maybe the entire season, you can pretty much rely that Colin Kaepernick will remain unsigned. And you'll still have the leftist social justice warrior football reporters lamenting the fact that he's not being signed. He's been blackballed. And this most recent case with the Washington Redskins, I think, is perhaps the most egregious. Now, again, I'm indifferent as to whether Colin Kaepernick is signed or not. Although I will say, when the Vikings lost Sam Bradford at the beginning of last season and Case Keenum was their backup, I didn't think Case Keenum would do what he would be able to go 12-2 as a starter in 2017. So I said at that point, I think Colin Kaepernick would be a better backup for the Vikings than would Case Keenum. And I was hoping the Vikings would at least give him a workout. They didn't, like all other teams didn't, and, you know, okay, sarah, sarah. Well, the Washington Redskins have lost two starting quarterbacks within a week. They lost their starter, Alex Smith, I think it was a couple weeks ago, actually, against the Houston Texans. And then Colt McCoy making his second start for the Redskins this past Monday night also had a similar type injury where he broke his tibia. So they were left with Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, who is at best a mediocre quarterback with the New York Jets. And Colin Kaepernick has had seen game action more recently than Mark Sanchez had. Yet Sanchez is now the guy. And because they were left with only Mark Sanchez, it's like, wow, Colin Kaepernick would seem to make sense for this team now. And there was discussion that the Redskins, particularly head coach Jay Gruden, were going to take a look at him. But ultimately, they passed on him, and they decided to go with Josh Johnson. Who? Yeah, Josh Johnson, who was drafted in the fifth round by the Tampa Bay Bucks in 2008 and has made five starts in 10 years and has been with seven different franchises. So it's pretty obvious nothing has really stood out about Josh Johnson, but yet the Redskins sign him. And why did the Redskins sign him? Because he had experience with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden was the assistant coach with a couple different franchises for whom Josh Johnson played. So that's why they brought him in. And they says, well, wait a minute, Coach Gruden, you were talking about bringing in Colin Kaepernick. Why didn't you? And he says, well, it's too late in the year for Kaepernick to learn this kind of system. So we went with the guy, Josh Johnson. Well, okay, so Josh Johnson is familiar with your system, but apparently he never mastered it because he never caught on. He never stayed in the NFL for more than a cup of coffee with the team per season. And so Kaepernick remains unsigned. And it's pretty obvious that Colin Kaepernick is blackballed. Now, whether it rises to the level of collusion where they can prove collusion, which is the lawsuit Kaepernick is bringing at to the NFL that owners are colluding to keep him out of the league, that seems to me to be a tough sell, but we'll see how that pans out. But what I continually don't understand is how so many team officials will say, well, yeah, Colin Kaepernick definitely deserves to be in the league. And do you notice that the team officials who say that most often are the most stable at the quarterback position? You ever notice that? So as a result, Colin Kaepernick is still unsigned, and I don't know that he'll ever play in the NFL again. Some believe he will never play in the NFL again, and after this season, it'll be two full years. And that's the excuse people are going to start to have. Well, it's been two full years since Kaepernick has had a job. So it's kind of becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy where they don't sign him and don't sign him and don't sign him. And they give all these inane reasons why these pathetic quarterbacks continue to be signed. these quarterbacks who have never done anything of note in their NFL careers. And I just wish teams would be honest. Because you know what? You can be honest. You can come out and say, look, there's an issue. This is too much of a charged issue with fans that we don't want it to be a distraction. But the Redskins can't use that line of excuse. You know why? Because they signed Reuben Foster, who was accused and arrested of domestic abuse, cut by the San Francisco 49ers. They signed him while he was basically still in a holding cell. And yet they won't sign Colin Kaepernick because he's committed the sin of kneeling during the national anthem. I question some football fans' moral code. If you are willing to excuse literal crimes, like my fellow Vikings fans, when Adrian Peterson came back in 2015 after being out for most of 2014 over beating his kid, which he admitted to doing, and he pled it down to a misdemeanor, doesn't change the fact he beat his kid. Vikings fans welcome back with open arms when Adrian Peterson won the rushing title in 2015. All was forgiven. But yet if a guy kneels during the national anthem, that's the line in the sand we're going to draw. Again, that's your moral code. You're welcome to have it. So be it. I just question it. That's all. But the thing that most disappoints me about the Washington Redskins not signing Colin Kaepernick is how leftists would have just pitched a fit over their social justice warrior hero signing with a team with the racist nickname, the Redskins. That's another cause a lot of them are bringing up, is they demand that Dan Snyder, owner Dan Snyder of the Washington Redskins, change the team's nickname. Can you imagine the just shrieking ambivalence among these social justice warriors had Colin Kaepernick signed with the Redskins? How would he have reacted to that? That would have been an hour's worth of material on the radio show, to be sure. So to me, that's the most disappointing aspect of Colin Kaepernick not signing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up in mere moments right here, AM 1280 The Patriot, Northern Alliance Radio Network. Back in a few. Go nowhere.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Osterhoos Bookstore is your go-to place for Bibles and all the tools to help you study. Looking for something out of the ordinary? Osterhoos will special order it for you, catering to all things religious. Osterhoos Book and Printing, north of downtown Robbinsdale. Online at osterhooshub.com.
Blue Ox Heating and Air. Legendary service, install and repair. We'll fix anything with legendary care.
Call Blue Ox Heating and Air now for their legendary $49 furnace tune-up. And if your furnace needs repair, the tune-up fee counts towards the cost. Ask about the no-breakdown all-winter guarantee. Call 7634-BLUE-OX or online at goblueox.com.
Blue Ox Heating and Air. Legendary service, install and repair. We'll fix anything with legendary care.
Here at the Kingdom Builders, relationships are more important than sales figures. We're not real interested in doing these commercials to pull you in with marketing. We're more interested in having an opportunity to reach out and establish a relationship with you. Matthew, my son-in-law, now works a lot in the office with me, and our goal is really to be great ambassadors for the Lord Jesus. We don't want to put our light under a bushel basket.
Yeah, I've just really enjoyed talking with customers and seeing what their problems are and trying to fix those for them, trying to get peace of mind with the issues they're having with their home.
We think the business part will come naturally if we have a good, solid relationship with you and establish a level of trust. We've just been immensely blessed with all the people that we've met in the past few years, and we look forward to growing our family of customers. We'd like the opportunity just to look at your roof, your gutters, whatever it might be, for a free and obviously no obligation estimate. Find us online at thekingdombuilders.net.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-981-0472. That's 1-800-981-0472. 1-800-981-0472.
TheFishTwinCities.com, spreading joy all season long.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Hear Christmas classics and contemporary favorites at TheFishTwinCities.com, supported by Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge.
AM 1280 The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5 K298CO Minneapolis, fueled by Lucky's Station.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.